What would you say was the theme that seems to have come across already? What was the theme that came across? No. Yeah. Someone want to answer?
How much we need God.
How much we need God? What else would you say? What else? What was a word that came over and over again in the songs?
Love.
Love, right? God's love. Love, right? You know, there are times where people say things, they share stuff with us, and we hear it, and we like the connections that are made, and then there's other times where something happens and it really, really goes real deeper in you, you know, and I really felt that with when Jen was sharing about her mom and reaching out to her mom and saying mommy for the first time. Oh gosh, you know, and it's good to get to know people. You know,
yeah.
It really is good to get to know. In the knowing, there's a development of love that happens. And this is true about God, isn't it?
Yes.
The more that we really get to understand God, and we get to understanding through His Word, and in the circumstances and how He deals with us, that we get to love Him more, don't we? Don't.
Yes.
Yeah. I just felt as people were talking and sharing, and the kids got up and how much love that God has for us, and that we have for God, and we have for one another. I was saying to Gary the other day, yesterday I guess it was, no, the night before, just how the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But it's really the goodness of God, just how good He is to us, that really leads us to repentance, where we want to serve Him because He deserves it.
Right.
You know? When somebody says something nice to you or does something good for you, doesn't your heart just kind of pour back and you want to do something for that person, or, you know, they're kind to you, you want to be kind to them, and you think about how God is with us? Wow. I mean, it's a tremendous thing. Now, maybe we think we know all there is to know about the love of God, but boy, we got a long way to go, don't we? Don't you think? Notice if Kathy picked out the verse for every week, and she has here John 15. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. You think that there's something for us to grab a hold of today? You know, there's one thing to read words in the Bible and hear what's being said at a service. It's another thing to actually take it to heart, right? Mm-hmm. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Wow. This is the bedrock, the basis upon which we really end up growing. Now, it isn't an abstract love Love has action involved in it.
Yes.
And this is why we're continually encouraged by the Lord to step out in places. That when you notice that maybe by that look on someone's face that they're hurting and they could use somebody reaching out to them, that we don't look for somebody else to do it, that if we're there, that we worship God. I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to be there for that person. We don't have to have it all smooth and have it all figured out in our heads. We just want to step out in love to people, right?
Yeah.
And that's what really counts. It's the care, it's the concern, it's the reaching out in love, and that's what's going to change you and change me. Yeah. Isn't that right? So, it seems like God's talking about this. In Matthew 25, and I'll tell you, I'm going to just read the first part, and then I'm going to tell you why or how the Lord got me to this particular place. Chapter 25, verse 1. Last week we were talking about Jesus being Lord in our life, and that, it isn't that we just say that He's Lord. He really needs to be the Lord in our life. The Scripture says in other parts of Matthew, people are going to come to me in that day and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do these different things?" And the Lord's going to say, "I never knew you. You're not doing the will of my Father. You're not listening. You're not growing. You're not developing a real love for the Father. You're just kind of going through motions. And you're saying Lord, but you're not allowing Him to be Lord in your life."
Yeah.
We can all say things. I can say a whole bunch of things, but if I'm not living it myself, if I'm not on my knees enough and allow God to change me, I'm just a clanging cymbal, right? We understand what we're saying here. This is real stuff. God is looking for disciples. He's looking for people that are going to allow the love of God to flow through them. It's not all the head knowledge of things. It's really that heart knowledge, isn't it?
Yes.
It's love is what's really makes the changes. I can know these scriptures inside and out, but if I don't have, there has to be something there. There has to be some kind of oil in my engine that's working. You know, I'll get to that. Now, the other day, I had brought a generator that I had up to a campsite where Gary Phoebe and I have this camp. It's his property, but he's letting Kathy and I put a camp up there. And so I brought that. I brought this new generator and put it out there. And he says, "Well, hey, let's get your we're doing some stuff." And he says, "Let's get your generator going, and we'll make sure your battery's all charged up and everything." So I said, "Oh, okay." So he goes over to it and he's looking at it, and he said, "You have oil in it?" I never thought about that. Because I'm stupid that way. I really am. You know? I just... It's like... At home, if I want to know where something is, I say, "Kathy, where's the... whatever." And she knows. I can depend on that. She knows, and she's going to tell me, "Oh, yeah, just go over and it's in the second drawer." So you kind of depend that somebody else knows what they're doing, and you can just depend on them, right?
Yeah.
So he said that, and I could feel my head just kind of twitch. Oh, the oil. Well, I don't want to look stupid in front of Gary, but I already have. You know, I can't get out of that. So now, so I go, "Oh. Oh, yeah." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, like I knew that I should have checked, but I forgot." No, I didn't forget. I didn't even think about it. So, I said, "Oh yeah, no, I didn't get around to that." And I said, "Did you bring any oil up?" And I said, "Oh no, I was going to do that too." I'm glad he isn't here right now because I'm confessing he doesn't know this. So I said no, and I forgot. I did remember I wanted to bring up some gas for it, but I forgot that too. What's that?
You actually forgot that.
I actually forgot that. So one of the things I have to do now is get oil for the generator. And this is talking about the oil and the lamps. So I just want to make that connection. So, but this is what got me on this. And, the oil, I want to talk about the oil. Because as we read this, I want us to understand what we're really talking about here. I know when I was a young Christian and I was being taught about what this chapter was all about, it was said to me, well, this is the Holy Spirit, and the oil is a representative of the Holy Spirit, and I accept that, and there's absolutely there is that connection, but I want us to think about something else as well. So here's what it says. Because last week we were talking about Jesus being Lord, and it's the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, depending on how it's said. And this is how it starts out. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now remember, the kingdom of heaven is dealing with two different things. One is ongoing, happening right now, which is the kingdom of God that's within us. Right? That's the kingdom that comes without observation, where God's working on the inside of our hearts and transforming us and doing that thing so that He is really Lord of our life. It isn't, we're not just saying Lord, Lord. We actually, when we say Lord, we mean Lord. Because we're submitting our life to God. Right? He's our king. And then there's this also this coming kingdom, physical kingdom, where Jesus is going to come back and He's going to rule and reign on this earth.
Yes.
He's already ruling in our hearts, hopefully. And we're in the process of allowing that to happen more and more. And all of this is a preparation. It's the beginning of a kingdom that is going to last for 1,000 years and then for eternity. And we get an opportunity to begin to live in that right now.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
That's kind of exciting. And that God loves us and wants us to experience this future kingdom even right now I don't want to say a minor way, but not in the grand way that's going to happen when Jesus Himself returns, because Jesus is living in our hearts, and as we turn our lives more and more over to Him, we experience that kingdom of God more and more. Isn't that right? Now, and while all of that's going on, we're living in a kingdom of this world that's dark.
Yes.
A dark kingdom that needs light. Right? There's dark places even within us who have accepted Christ. There's dark places that need the light shed. So it says here. So then, verse 1, so then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now guess what who I related to here. I was kind of foolish. Why? I didn't think about, I do this all the time. I grab something that I need, that I'm taking someplace else. And I don't think about, oh, well, is there anything else that I need to take besides this? Is there something that I need to, you know, that goes with this? I have this one thing on my mind. I grab it and I take it and I leave the house. I don't know how many times last week I left the house with something and I'm down at the bottom of Gorham Hill and I go, oh, I forgot to get da 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 da. I had to turn around, come back up, and get what I needed.
Scary.
It is scary. Who said that? Oh, you. You don't take the oil with you.
I think you need to pray first before you leave the driveway.
Is that what I need to do, Diane?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I have that written down here, too.
But you forgot.
But I forgot. No, I was getting to that. But that's one of the things that really does help out.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's talking? You don't know how many times I need to pull in, leave, pull back in.
Julie?
I'm Sean Kelly's daughter.
Julie, I love you. No, but we all do this, don't we?
You know?
Because the things...
You learn as you get older.
Yeah, some of us. Some people know. Some people do. So.
Hopefully not
you. It says that the foolish took their lamps. What is the lamp? What's the lamp? What would that be a symbol of? The word of God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Right? People can have some kind of head knowledge, but there's something more that needs to be involved. You can't just taking the lamp, just having some head knowledge of what is the right thing to do without doing it. Without what up? Let me finish reading this. So then it says in verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, what was the difference between the people, the five virgins that took the oil, and the ones that didn't? Now, don't say the oil.
Wisdom.
Because why?
They were alert.
They were awake to the fact that, I could possibly not have enough oil in my lamp. And I should just bring an extra cruse of oil with me. So five of them did and five of them didn't. Five of them took to heart what was up in their minds, what they were reading, and they took things to heart. You know, we are coming to an end of an age, and there's lots of description about what's the conditions of this age and what it's going to be like. And some people take it to heart, and some people don't. Some people even use scripture to not take something to heart, because wise people are prudent people. They're circumspect. They think about the whole thing. They look around. They're circumspect. They look at all the things that are happening in the world, and they go, this looks kind of bad here. I should be preparing for certain things. Some people will say, well, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about the end, because Jesus is going to come back. Or people say, well, Jesus is going to protect me. I don't have to worry. And people equate worry with preparedness. You know, we're supposed to be ready for things that are coming on the earth, aren't we? And I'm talking about, before you think I'm getting into being a prepper, I'm not. I'm talking about a mental and spiritual heart of being ready for the things that are about to come upon the earth. Because if it isn't here, I don't care what kind of provisions you or I might have, it's not going to do us a bit of good. If fear overtakes us, if depression overtakes us, if other kinds of attitudes come in on us and we're not prepared for that. I'll tell you what. I was in the camper the other night, and right around midnight, these coyotes started howling. Oh my gosh! I thought, well, they're coming right into the camp. It sounded so. There was wailing. It was horrible. You know. And you think, and I'm just looking at it from that and applying it to spiritual things. We don't know what is coming up in this world. But it doesn't, from what the scripture says, it's not pretty. And I'd rather know that it's not going to be pretty and get myself prepared for that, right? Then be in some little dream world where, oh, well, I don't have to prepare for anything. Jesus will just take care of me. And then when all these things come upon me, I go, where's Jesus? What's going on here? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be protecting me when he was trying to do that by getting me prepared mentally and spiritually in my heart for years and years and years before it actually happened. You understand? And God's doing that. God's doing that right now. He's looking for us to be a prepared people. Prepared. Go ahead.
Just that I'm reading a book right now, and it's really about productivity, being productive in your life. But in it, it has a lot of stories about the people that are more successful with bad situations that come up in their life. So there was an example of like a plane, the pilot of a plane one time, and he gave two examples. One where the people weren't prepared at all and they crashed and stuff. And these are true stories. Yeah. And the other one where it was prepared, they were prepared. And the reason that they were prepared was because the pilot had foresight before. He always envisioned what would happen, all the possibilities that could happen.
Yeah.
And part of the visions that he had was about if something bad went wrong, what would the actions be? And he ran that through his mind every time before he went for a flight. And he even had the people he was flying with do certain actions in their mind beforehand, just so that they were prepared as well.
Yes.
And those are the ones that survive these type of things, are people who are more, have that mindset. So even in your day, like in the morning when you wake up, you should kind of be saying, okay, this is how I envision my day going.
Yeah.
But it may not go that way, but you should have some type of vision in there.
And when you know that certain things are coming up in your day, you know, like, as a teacher, I know I'm going to have to deal with that particular student today because they've been doing it every day this week. And what am I going to do today? What is the thing I need to do? And so I pray to God. I ask Him to give me some understanding. I think about the situation and I prepare myself mentally for the fact that, you know, certain things are going to go a particular kind of way. In sports, this whole thing you see yourself before the game starts. Do you think that people that are playing soccer or basketball, whatever, you know, the guys are sitting on the bench in the locker room before the coach gets them ready and they're going to go out and they're sitting and they're staring down at the floor. Do you think that they're counting the number of tiles on the floor? I mean, what are athletes? What are people that have a particular goal to win? A particular goal to do? Are they just zombieing out, or what's going on in their mind before the game even starts? What's going on in our minds before the day even begins? We know know certain things are going to happen, and we want to be prepared for those things as much as we can. So as an athlete, I thought about the different situations that I could probably find myself in, and what would I do, right? So that when those things actually happen in the game, I didn't have to think, oh, look, which way am I going to go with the ball now? No, I had already figured it out. And I'm a split second faster than the guy that's ready to come in and try to take the ball from me. But, you know, that can mean the difference, can it? And in our lives, we want to be people that are prepared for every day. And I think Christians say, well, God will just take care of me. Well, yeah, I believe that. But how does he get us prepared for things? He speaks to us by us asking him questions, by us saying, what do I need to do? What do I need to do up at the camp today? What are the things that I need to take care of? What's the best order for me? And I go through that gets me at least thinking about things, right? I wish that somebody would talk to me about college, because I got college in 2 weeks and I haven't even done anything yet. I haven't done anything. I'm all prepared for my class. It's the Canvas. It's the new internet thing that we have to. That internet thing. But life is something, and I know I'm belaboring something here, so I'm going to try to get back to where I want to go. So listen to this, and then we'll get back to Matthew 25. And if you're taking notes, you can just drop this scripture down and go look at it in a little bit. It says, it's Proverbs 21:20, it says this, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise." So that oil, right? There's oil in the dwelling of the wise. Now, this all got started because of that. I didn't have oil in my generator. And I thought, oh, I'm lacking some oil here. What's going on? And there's oil in the house of the wise. What is that? What is it? You know, because I want to be wise. I want to be prudent. I want to be circumspect. I want to know what's going on. I want to be prepared for the things that are coming on the earth. I want to be prepared in my heart and given over my life more and more to my Lord Jesus Christ. That takes energy. And part of what this oil thing is, oil was used as the energy source, wasn't it? You have the lamp, but what makes the lamp run? The oil. You gotta have oil in that lamp. You can have the lamp, but there's not no lights coming out of it unless you have oil in it. And this is what happens with these other maidens. I think the lamp started, but it says we ran out of oil. Please give us some of your oil. And the response is, nay, lest we don't have enough oil for ourselves. Well, that doesn't sound too Christian. But you know, when it comes to spiritual energy, the thing that's really going toward God, you can't really give that. You know, have you ever been with somebody and they seem to drain all the energy out of it? With constant questions or worryings or whatever, you know, you can get around people that really draw your energy out, you know, and so you can give it, but then you're not going to have enough of what you need for yourself, right? And so they say, yeah, you know, we have to be cognizant of this fact, and we have to be people that understand what's going on in the world, and be ready for these kinds of things. So,
Malcolm?
Yeah, go ahead.
It kind of reminds me of if you're on an airplane and they say, you know, the oxygen drops down. Use it on yourself first, or you're not going to be able to help anybody else.
You won't be able to help somebody else,
so
right?
In a way, it's like, make sure that you're filled with oil before you try to help someone else.
Yes.
Look at that as the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can give to someone else anyway. They're going to go and find it. They're going to go to the source.
Yeah, I know.
And get it themselves.
And you see, we have the light. Have you ever had somebody say, quote some scripture to you, it doesn't help you? You go, yeah, I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm saying this because of the fact that, like what we were talking about. Sometimes it's just caring. It's not throwing out the light. It's just caring for somebody, not saying something at all. This has all been said here. It's the love of God that is a missing ingredient a lot of times. And we can't forget as we're moving along and being prepared that it's us reaching out because of the love of God, because of His goodness for us, that we want to give back to Him in being available to people, right? So he goes on here, and it says in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, right in the middle of the night, right, dark, the darkest time of the night, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go out and meet him. So all the virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. So in this case, and what John just said, it isn't like you can give the Holy Spirit to somebody else. You know, we can have God's knowledge of things, but to me, not only are we talking about the Holy Spirit, but we're talking about the love of God that comes. And I want to get to something else here, if I can keep my head together. So, while these people were out buying, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's kind of a scary kind of thing. And we all said, "Well, I'm going to be one of the ones that have oil in my lamp." But it's possible that we won't. That's why we always have to be diligent. We all will if we're diligent. You know that? If we say, somebody was saying it too about not having the energy, being tired. You notice when you're tired, you don't really have much that you really can give or want to give. Right? Bob?
It's obvious that the ones without the oil could not see from the light of someone else's lamp.
Yeah.
You needed your own lamp.
You needed, you're right, good. It's a good point. Sometimes people rely on this spirituality, the Holy Spirit in somebody else, when really, when it gets right down to it, you as an individual, me as an individual, it can't just be head knowledge. It has to be practical knowledge that we're allowing ourselves to move in, reaching out to that person, not just thinking, oh, I should have reached out to so-and-so. But not do it, right? You understand?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that sometimes we can be the light, and we can be with somebody, and they can we can pass the light on to them just by being there for them.
That's right.
We don't have to give them the light, but if they see the love that we have for them, they will receive it over. Most of the time.
Yes. To me, you know, this thing about that oil in the lamp, really it's talking about our spiritual energy. And we have to take care of our physical bodies, right? We have to take care of our physical bodies to be able to have the to be able to move, to do things, to think sometimes. Aren't you, sometimes you're just so tired you can't think?
Yeah.
And God wants us to be ready for all these different circumstances. Yeah.
I have a good side note.
You would.
Because you always pick the ones that they pick. It's long, so I'll just read half of it. But all 10 of the virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 10, had the same opportunity, but only half of them were prepared to take it. God is an equal opportunity employer.
Yes.
It does not matter to him what kind of background we come from, what kind of parents or family life we have, what color or gender we are, what kind of education we receive, what our physical handicaps may be. None of those things make a difference to him. In him, we all have equal opportunity. Anyone who follows his guidelines and do what he tells them to do can be blessed and used by him. All 10 of the virgins have the same opportunity, but only 5 were willing to do their part. God puts potential in all of us.
Yes.
If we are willing to develop it, we will see wonderful things take place in our lives. Do your part and don't be left out as the 5 foolish virgins did.
Excellent. Those are day by day choices that happen, right? All right. Somebody else have a hand up? No. All right. Let me read you here two other scriptures that deal with oil. I'm gonna wrap it up. Psalm 45, verse 7 says this. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Wow. One thing that brings oil into yours and my lamp is being glad. Is appreciating things, mm-hmm. right? Is contemplating the vastness and wonder and beauty of God. I was out the other night, spent the night up at the camp, and we're out by the outside fireplace, and we're leaning back in our chairs, and we're just looking up at the stars in the sky. How vast, how awesome God is, who made the entire universe. How big is God that he makes this universe that's billions of light years from one side to the other? I mean, goodness gracious. How awesome is he? How high are his thoughts? How did he construct and figure out, how to make a human eye? I mean, we think that's kind of funny, you know, but wow, the intelligence, the creativity of God is just, think about that, and be glad that he loved us enough that he died for us, and we can be glad in that, can't we? Can't we? And I'll tell you, we come into the dark times, gladness of heart is going to be an oil.
Yeah.
It is really going to be an oil in our lamp to be glad. There's another scripture in Isaiah 61, verse 3, that talks about having the oil of joy instead of mourning. There's all kinds of things about this life that bring us to very low, bad places. But I'll tell you what, the oil of joy, knowing that we have such a God and Creator, someone who loves us beyond measure, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him would have eternal life. My God, wow. And we are recipients of that. We're going to need that kind of oil in the days ahead. We are. It's not some little, oh, I don't need that. I got the word. I got this oil of gladness. I got this oil of joy that because I know in whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to do that for me, which I've committed unto Him. Wow! Isn't that a great thing?
Woo. Yes.
That's oil in our lamp. That's oil that goes with the Word of God. Because we've been talking about how important it is that we live according to His Word, but that isn't the end of it. The rest of it is, you know, that lamp that we're shining needs to have the oil that goes with that Word. That gladness, that joy, that love, that seeing God's goodness and saying, God, I know I need to change. The closer I get to God, the further away I see I am from Him. Isn't that true? The closer you get, you go, wow, I got a long way to go. Wow, I didn't even see this in me that I've had before. I think I've said a number of times, you know, back when I first became a Christian, what I thought was a strength of mine was I was a very patient person. I thought I was very patient. I found out that I'm not so patient. Or persevering. Sometimes things come up in my life and I run into a wall and I go, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to do that. And when I needed to persevere, when I needed to have patience in the circumstance to see the thing through. And I can look back and I can say, oh boy, I missed it here and here and here and there. Yeah. But that's not going to happen anymore. And God's changing us, isn't He? But that lamp that we're supposed to have holding out so we can see where we're going and that we can be a light in a dark place for other people, that has to have the oil. The Word has to have oil. It has to have the love of God. It has to have the joy and the gladness of heart that come along with it. Thank you, God. A heart full of thankfulness for what He's done. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
So Lord, I just pray today that we be a people that are wise and not foolish, that we take oil in our lamp, that where we see we have a lack of oil, we have a lack of joy, a lack of gladness, a lack of love, a lack of reaching out, that whatever it happens to be, Lord, that we ask You, and we know that if we ask, that we can have. And we entrust ourselves to a faithful Creator in doing that which is right. And so we come to You, Lord, believing. We desire to be wise, not for ourselves, but for a world that needs You. And I thank You, Lord, that You give us the oil of Your anointing, the oil of Your presence, the oil of Your Holy Spirit, the oil of joy, the oil of gladness, the that soft oil that helps the bones. I thank You, God, that You're all encompassing in our lives, and that You want to be more and more. We love You, Jesus. We give ourselves over to You. You are Lord, and we mean it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.